Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Not just this Thursday. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You may be seated. Somebody say, fix your mood. Somebody say, I'm grateful. I'm filled with gratitude. Look to heaven and just say, thank you, Jesus. I don't know how many times in my life, especially in the last 15 or 20 years, that I have just, for no reason, other than just have a God thought, not on a Sunday, not on a Wednesday, not at church, where I just said, thank you, Jesus. And not really having one thing in mind, but just thank you, Jesus. And I think it's not the one thing in mind, but it is the cumulative effect of everything that God has done. If we were to just take a moment, the Bible says if I had 10,000 tongues, I still couldn't tell it all. If I had 10,000 Sundays, I still couldn't preach at all. God has done so much for us. But just like in any other relationship, I think it is easy for us, the closer we get in the familial aspects of our relationship with God, the closer we get to God, there's a danger in our relationship with God growing callous. And so the Bible talks about us redoing our first works or doing our first works again. It is why people renew their wedding vows. Not because things got shaky, but again, to bring everything to focus again. That's why Sundays are important. I know your relationship with Jesus is bigger than a Sunday expression or a Wednesday night service. I understand that and I agree with that. But I also want to encourage you, Sundays are important because it brings us back to a focus. See, if you came in here with an open heart and an open spirit, when we were singing God's Not Done and people had their hands uplifted, you forgot about the singers on the platform. You forgot about the series we were getting ready to enter. You just got lost in God. And for a moment, you forgot about the trouble you were having at your job, the issues you're having at home, the issues that are going on between your ears or elbows. And for that moment, in that moment, it was you and Jesus all alone. I want to encourage you. That's a special thing about Sunday. But let me tell you that God wants to have that on Monday morning and on Monday afternoon and on Monday evening. Sometimes God's going to wake you up on Tuesday morning at 2:30 a.m. And he's not just waking you up to tell you how awesome you are. Sometimes he wakes us up to remind us how awesome he is. But isn't it good to know that the God of the universe wakes us up to speak life, to speak vision, to speak purpose? So when we talk about cultivating a life filled with gratitude, it is so much bigger than a holiday or a Thursday. Gratitude is synonymous throughout the Bible with words like grateful, praise, worship, honor, appreciation. The foundation of gratitude is when we move from gratitude being just a grateful attitude and we are reminded that gratitude is our response to God's grace. Aren't you glad that God is a gracious God? Aren't you glad that God has given us things that we don't deserve? That's what grace is. Aren't you glad that even though our lives were ravaged by sin and destroyed by the sin and the decisions we've made in our life, God said, hey, I love you enough to not let you stay messed up, but I've given you a way out and a way up and a way of escape. That's the grace of God. And so gratitude has nothing to do with what God has done in your bank account, nothing to do with the address that you live or the car you drive, or a lot of the things that we like to talk about, the blessing and the favor of God. One of the biggest blessings you and I will ever have is the grace of God. One of the greatest acts of favor we will ever have is that I'm alive today and I'm not carrying the weight of the world or the weight of my sin, but I woke up today with grace that is sufficient and mercy that is fresh every morning. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-23. Rejoice evermore. Just catching everybody up from the last 2 weeks. Rejoice evermore. It tells us to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. To pray always. Verse 18 is our theme scripture: in everything, give thanks. Remember, we don't give thanks for everything. It says give thanks in everything. That means in every season of our life, God is great and greatly to be praised. That gratitude is not depending on the greatness of my week or the highest mountain that I have climbed or the moment of ecstasy that comes with a promotion at job or your wedding day or the birth of your children. But even when everything is going wrong, God is still great and he is still greatly to be praised in everything, not for everything. It says, quench not the spirit, let the spirit flow. Despise not prophesying, listen and follow prophecy. When you talk about prophecy, it's not just spoken words from so-called prophets. The prophecy is what God has shown you that has not yet come to pass. I'm glad that in 2024 that God has given me dreams about 2025. That God has given me vision and goals for 2034, 10 years from now. I'm glad when God gives me a dream and gives me a vision and gives me a goal, because that means that God is not through with me yet. And if God gives me a vision and a goal and then I get a bad health report, I know the health report is not going to kill me because God has something in front of me. And so sometimes I'm not grateful for what he's done. I am grateful for what he has promised to do. Dreams, praise God. Let 2024, the rest of this year, be a season of dreaming for you. And can I encourage you, church, dream bigger. Bigger vision. Vision that includes other people. Vision that includes your city. Vision that includes not just your immediate family, but your extended family. Vision that includes your ex-spouse getting saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I knew I wouldn't get a lot of amens right there. I'm talking about gratitude for the prophecies, and what God has said. Verse 20, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Prove the good. Measure everything by the word of God. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's a big one. Don't give the perception of evil and sin. The enemy wants to trip you up, but if he can't trip you up, he will have you make decisions that will trip other believers around you or unbelievers. I don't want anyone to ever get to heaven and say, God, I wanted to follow you, but Brandon kept tripping me up. Because he kept doing things and saying things that seemed to be evil, and I didn't understand those things, and it gave me a warped or a diluted or polluted version of who you are, God. And so, just like Adam and Eve, that's not going to be an excuse, but there will be people that give an excuse, and I don't want anyone to ever give that excuse about me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 is where we ended our session 2 weeks ago. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless unto the Lord Jesus Christ, until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Gratitude is one of the main ingredients to make your life two things that verse 23 says here: holy and whole. See, I want us to be a holy church. A holy church is a church that the Spirit moves in. A holy church is a church where we allow the Spirit to convict us in. This should not be a place that just makes you feel good. This is not just a place to tell you how awesome you are and how awesome your future is going to be. This should be a place that sometimes when you come in here, the word of God that is preached, or maybe it's not even through the sermon, maybe it's during worship, the Spirit of God starts pricking your heart and moving in you, saying there's some things in you and some things that you're doing that are robbing you of the future that I've called you to have. That's why I love When we sing worship songs that are full of theology and full of the word of God and full of declaring the word of God, because there's a lot of Christian songs that are being written that I call Jesus is my boyfriend songs. And the Jesus is my boyfriend songs are, unless you didn't know they were singing about God, they might be singing about Justin Bieber. They might be singing about their ex. Oh, I love you. Your love has changed me. I wake up thinking about your love. You better put a name on that God. So when we talk about the holy aspect, Living Way has to be a holy place. I saw a great quote the past couple weeks. It said, if your church has a sound system without sound doctrine, it is an event center, not a church. We are not an event center. You know why we're not an event center? Because we wouldn't be a very good one, because the AT&T Center is better. The Moody Center is better. Shoot, even the Majestic Theater, as old as it is better. At creating a show, at creating an event, This is not an event. This is a place for us to be exposed to the one true living God. And when we are exposed to the one true living God, yes, we receive salvation. Yes, we can be delivered. Yes, we can be healed. But yes, we can also be convicted. We can be rebuked. We can be reproved. We can be corrected. And no one loves to be corrected. But correction makes you grow. Correction stretches you. Don't go to, if you ever leave Living Way, which I pray that you never do, but if you should have to move to Houston or move to Oklahoma City or move to California, can I encourage you? Don't go find a church with the greatest sound system and the greatest band and the most popular preacher. Find you a church that exposes you to the holiness of God every time they gather. Find you, if you've got kids, find a children's church that exposes your kids to the holiness of God. But I also love this. When we expose ourselves to the holiness of God, He exposes us to the wholeness of who He is. That means you don't have to live life absent or lacking any good thing. Now, can I remind you that you and I don't get to define good? When I say any good thing, I'm talking about what God has deemed good for our lives. And we've got a lot of new believers, but let me just remind you, everything that is good is not from God, but everything that God does is good for you. So don't fall in love. The devil's sometimes not going to send something evil. He's just going to send something good that is at odds with what God wants to do in your life. There's a lot of people you could live with and maybe not put your fist through the sheetrock and maybe not have the cops called every other weekend. There's a lot of people that you could do life with, but can I just talk to the singles in the room that are wanting to be married? God's got one for you that He created for you and you for Him or her. And God, when He brings you together, it's going to be a beautiful thing. And you're going to change the world. And you're going to produce and fulfill purpose. All of those things. But it has to be a God thing and not just a good thing. It is God's will for every disciple of Christ. How many disciples we got in the room? Remember what I said months ago? It's not just enough to be a believer. The Bible says even the devil and demons believe and tremble. Believers, praise God. Our disciples, praise God, believe and obey. Let's go to the woman with the issue of blood. I want to drive this point home today. Mark chapter 5, verse 34. And He said unto this woman, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Somebody say whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Isn't it amazing that God didn't say you're healed? He said you're whole. Now what is awesome is healing is a part of the wholeness package. So when God calls you whole, it's so much bigger than being healed. I want to talk to somebody that you feel like you are sick. Sick physically, sick in relationship, sick financially, sick with your purpose and ministry. Can I tell you that sickness is not the source? Sickness is a symptom that the enemy wants to use to rob you of the wholeness that God has called. Because, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but you can be healed without ever becoming whole, but you cannot receive wholeness until you've been healed. He said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. If you go, and I don't want to belabor this point in this because there's two more passages that I want to get to drive this point home. But when you go to the beginning of this story, the Bible says that this woman had an issue of blood. She was literally hemorrhaging blood for 12 years. The Bible said she had gone from doctor to doctor to doctor. They could not help her. This is what the Bible says. It uses this phrase, but she rather grew worse. Anytime that we go to somebody else or something to receive what we can only get from Jesus, you're not gonna get better. Here the Bible says we don't even stay the same. We get worse. Why do people act at Living Way like we act at Living Way in this altar? Why do people lay down on their face in this altar? Why do people hit a knee in this altar? Because we have tried the rest. And then once we found Jesus, we found out that can't nobody do me like the Lord. And some of us now lament. Some of our tears are happy tears, but I'm going to be honest with you. Some of my tears are when I look back over my life and say, I wasted that many years and I wasted that night and I wasted all this time looking for the answer in things that could not help me. And so the Bible says she rather grew worse. I love what Jesus says here. Jesus says, you came to me for healing, but he said, I want to make you whole. When Jesus heals her, and we know the story, she reaches out and touches Jesus. Jesus doesn't have to touch her because she's got so much faith in that moment. Can I just take a pause here and sidebar and just encourage somebody? Don't wait for Jesus to touch you, but reach out and grab a hold of him today. Reach out and grab a hold of his word today and watch what it produces in your life. But I love what Jesus is saying here. Jesus said, you came to me wanting healing, but I've got so much more than that for you. And the Bible says your faith has made you whole. You will be whole of the plague, meaning this, what this disease has robbed from you for the last 12 years, I'm bringing all of that back to you, praise God. That was a good place to say amen. For those of you that have been struggling, not for a week, not for a month, but maybe a century, I've come to encourage you today and tell you that God doesn't love this woman any more than he loves you. And what the devil has stolen from you, God said, not only am I going to heal you, I'm going to bring everything he's stolen back plus interest. I'm going to bring everything he stole plus the things you didn't even know he stole the last 12 years. I'm going to put it all on you at one time. Just a personal illustration to show you. This past year, I opted out of Social Security. There's only two types of people that can opt out of Social Security, and clergy are one of them. I said, Pastor, why'd you opt out of Social Security? I always bet on myself. I can do more with the Social Security money than the government can. And when I hit 60, Social Security might not even be here. Who knows? But what I did not know is they can retroact that law for me. And they can tell the government, Mr. Fender has opted out of Social Security. He will no longer be paying Social Security to the government. The government says, cool. But my tax attorney said, Mr. Fender, do you realize that you are owed back Social Security now? We can reach back a few years. I said, I did not know that, but that's what I pay you to know. I'm glad you know that. So not only am I getting everything from here forward that I would have had to put in Social Security, but now they're reaching back into the last few years of my life, and they're pulling all of that, and it is on its way to me and Mandy right now. Mandy didn't opt out, so I bet on me. I didn't bet on her. I don't know if she's going to be stingy with it if something happens. Y'all pray for her heart. But I do know this, that sometime in 2025, that check's going to show up at Brandon's house. And it's going to be a great moment, not because it's what I deserve in that moment, but because my past has been accumulating, has been adding to. I'm talking to somebody today. Let's not talk about money. Let's talk about your peace. How do you get peace that passes all understanding? It's not a peace that happens in November of 2024. God reaches back and says, you know that peace that the enemy stole in 1998? I've got that peace. You know the peace that that relationship stole from you in 2011? I've got that peace. He's going to bring all of that peace and he's going to dump it in your lap. You know how we get joy unspeakable? He says, you remember that relationship in 2005 when he treated you this way and he broke you and he abused you and he stole your joy and you couldn't smile and you couldn't laugh? He said, I went back and I got that joy that was owed to you. I got the joy that everything that has been stolen and I'm bringing it to you and your house. Can I tell you, God is not a God of just enough. He is a God of more than enough. And the reason my mood changed when I said yes to Jesus is I found out that nobody is like our God. Somebody say amen. Man, oh man. Let's go a little further. John chapter 5 verse 6. When Jesus saw the paralyzed man, 38 years he had been paralyzed. He had been at the Bethesda pool by the gate called Beautiful. The Bible says in verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had been there a long time in that case. He said unto him, now I love this, because Jesus is all God and all man in this moment. Jesus saw a paralyzed man, and he knew he had been there for a long time. That's the God portion of Jesus in that moment. In that moment, Jesus knew the jobs that his condition had cost him. In that moment, he knew the relationships. You think it's hard to get a date on eHarmony right now? This guy had been sick with no job. The Bible says his testimony was, I have no person to put me in, no friends. The Bible says Jesus looked on him and knew that he had been there for a while. Can I just encourage somebody with this God thought? That God sees you. He sees you when no one else sees you. He sees you when you don't think he sees you. God sees you in your pain, but God still sees the promise in you in that pain. The Bible says, verse 6, that Jesus saw him and knew that he had been that way a long time. In that case, he said to him, "Will thou be made whole?" Jesus is speaking in so much more broader terms than fixing his legs and arms. He's saying, do you just want life, or do you want life in abundance? Do you just want to be healed? Because if you're healed only, you still don't have friends. You still don't have a job. You still don't have a relationship. You still don't have a house. You still don't. But he said, we can do better than healed. We can do whole. You know what to change your mood? When you find out that Jesus wants to do better than just heal your mind or heal your body. He wants to bring you into wholeness. Can I talk to somebody today? The season of lack in your life is over in Jesus' name. The season of not enough is over in Jesus' name. Verse 8, Jesus said unto him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. You know what I love about this wholeness? The man just thought he was healed. He had no idea he was whole. You know what faith says? Faith says you get prayed for in an altar and you, I felt it. I'm healed. But you don't know what's waiting on you at home. You got wholeness waiting on you. You don't know what God just did at your job. There's whole. You don't know what God did with your so-called biggest enemy and rival in your life. I'm talking about the wholeness of God. And here we praise God for the healing. And I felt a touch. And I felt the power of God and the warmth of God. But little did this man know. He woke up sick and God healed him. But he was leaving with more than healing. He was leaving with wholeness. Somebody say whole. Got 2 minutes left. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. Let's read through this real quick. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood far off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he saw them and he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were clean. Or as they went, they were healed. Somebody say healed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed. Remember, there's a differentiation here between healed and whole. When one saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. We got some loud people at Living Way. Some of us are meek, or some of you are meek and mild, timid, shy. And then you got people like Brother Oscar. Brother Oscar, just yell something so everybody can hear you. There, I hear that. When I'm preaching, I hear Brother Marcus say, amen. There we go. I hear Brother Charlie's not here, but Brother Charlie be like, that's right. And if I don't hear that, I'm like, well, man, am I saying something wrong? I don't hear that's right. That's why we're loud, because being loud is the same expression that this man had when he realized that Jesus had made a difference in his life. Now, let's not talk about physical volume. Let's talk about the volume of your life. If your friends and coworkers don't know that you're a disciple of Jesus, you're too quiet. You're like the nine that went quietly on their way to the priests who were healed. Here's just a sidebar about this story. God didn't rob the nine from their healing. They just didn't get wholeness. Your gratitude and your mood with God affects whether you will ever move from just being healed or whole. Some of you are saying, I'm not sick. Well, we might not be talking about a physical sickness. See, sin is a sickness. So when I'm healed and you're healed, we are now children of God. Our destination eternally has been changed from hell to heaven. I'm glad that you and I don't have to go visit the fires of hell. But I've got a lot of living left to do. Tyler had us declare on Wednesday night, he said, for the next 60 years. And the guy beside me said, you're going to live longer than 60, aren't you? I said, I'm going to live another 80 years. So I declared 80 years in Jesus' name. Why do we? I want to be whole from 43 to 123. I don't want to just say I'm going to heaven. I want to say I'm going to heaven, I'm blessed, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wise, and I've got a million people behind me that I've led to Jesus. And when we all get to heaven, we're all going to live on the same street. And I don't want to live next to Moses. Moses is going to want to live next to me. I'm not going to want to go down to David's mansion. David's going to say, hey, can we come party with you for Jesus in your... Why? Because I am whole. One turn back, glorified with a loud voice. We need your voice, church. We need your voice at your job. We need your voice. Listen, we need your voice this Thursday with Cousin Ray Ray and Auntie and Abuela and all of those other people. We need your voice with your uncle's fourth wife that you've never met, that you're about to meet. We need your voice in our elections. We need your voice, young people, in the halls of our high school, in the locker rooms, in home. We need your voice. But you know what's greater than your voice? Turning the volume up on your life. That we don't live like the rest of the world lives. Stand on your feet. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Verse 16, fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. I love what Luke says, and he was a Samaritan. Luke just had to put that in there. Out of place, not in the right time, not the right dispensation of time, a Samaritan realized what Jesus did, realized who he was, and it changed his mood. And not just a, thanks, Jesus. You know, there are literally people that are attending church all over the world today that think they're doing Jesus a favor. They literally think, God, I'm here, okay, we're square? No, we're not square. He wants your life. This man starts yelling, thank you, then comes to Jesus, falls on his face. Jesus answered, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? They are found. They are not found that return to give God glory save this one stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. I don't even have to dive in to what leprosy did. But leprosy literally ripped families apart. Men and women had to leave their homes, and on the way out of their homes, their kids are crying and hysterical, and they couldn't touch mom and dad because leprosy was so contagious. You think COVID was contagious? Leprosy's contagious, eating the ears and the nose, and just a ravaged. And here this man is. He's already been healed. Remember when he looked down and saw that he was healed, he turned around, went back to Jesus and thanked him. But when he comes back and thanks God, his mood changed. Gets down on his hands and knees and worships and thanks God. Jesus said, all right, get up. Go thy way. Your faith has made you whole. I know most of us are saved in the room, but are you living the whole life? Are you making an excuse for a lack of wholeness because you've doubled down on holy? That's what Mother Teresa did. She took a vow of poverty. A vow of poverty is not biblical. She's a sweet woman, great woman, akin to great men and women in the Bible giving her life. But I am here to tell you, you can if you want. I'm not going to live in poverty, because if I live in poverty, I can't help people. You realize that there are people all over this church that are so blessed that they give such sacrificial giving. One lady wrote a check for $2,500 for the turkeys. That's significant. $250 is significant. If you don't have any money, $25 is significant.